Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
Looking at how the meth epidemic affects the individual, yeah?
Exactly. And for those of you who are listening to the Hawaii Public Radio Civil Beat podcast, Hawaii's new ice age, that has been spawning a lot of other conversations,
yeah.
And that's where this one comes from, too. Now, after hearing the HPR Civil Beat podcast, Hawaii's New Ice Age, we got a call from a young woman who said that how teens are engaged needed more discussion. Before we could ask her why she thought about that, she told us. She said that she'd been a teen who'd used meth, and the messages that she'd heard just hadn't worked. It went beyond those often criticized media campaigns from a few years ago by the Meth Project. Letitia, not her real name, says that teens need real facts without all that hype. Letitia joins us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Beth Ann. Good morning. Pleasure to be here talking about this important subject.
Well, for you, this became such a driver of your life from the time that you were about 16, 17 years old to now you're in your very early 20s, and we should say you're doing well.
Yeah.
And life has really changed for you because you decided to really change your life. But that wasn't because of a lot of what you saw over, the last 5, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's not what teens need, the scare tactics and sometimes the, the hokey commercials and all of that, what reaches teens?
So you mentioned I'm doing well, and that's because of a lot of work. Teens should know how much work it will take to recover from the serious drug. I don't think they understand why it's such a serious thing. I think they see it's naughty, but they don't understand why? Because they don't understand the way their own brain works. And that's where a lot of the work came in on my part. Their prefrontal cortex is still developing, and that affects their decision making. And if they understood that trying this drug can affect them in the future, who they become, their self-identity, then I think they would be much more timid to try it, opposed to just basing their decisions on the fear factors and what adults tell them. Because it's inarguable that many teens, especially the first time they try it, their experience it has nothing to do with what they see in the ads. What they see in the ads is very scary, and I think it's from a basis of prudishness from society. There's there's so much shock involved, but teenagers, what they might experience instead is motivation to learn more about themselves, experience like curiosity, creativity they have inherited in themselves that they didn't discover before
because of the drug.
Yeah, because of the drug, it's like a like an initiator, it'll like wake up.
Which sounds an awful lot like what some of, our parents and grandparents said about their experiences in the 60s. But beyond hearing that this can do their brain serious harm, and, some of those, fact-based things without the hype that you say that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
I also hear you saying that there has to be more care in self-development with tweens, as, kids are coming up in their 10, 11, 12th year, to be able to not just tell them the no-no-nos, but all the whys and wonders that move them in a very different direction. And that sounds like a very different message from what we traditionally get from anti-drug campaigns.
Yes, I think that would be the most important thing. A lot of drug campaigns miss the whole point, like hugs, not drugs. It doesn't tell the teen why, and that is very dangerous because that means they don't have a safe outlet to talk about it and to talk about their experience or to even understand why it's such an unforgiving thing. And without this safe outlet, I think it drives teens to deviate even more and to withdraw even more because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is discovering themselves, learning about themselves. That's what teenagers do.
This is true, but you're also talking about teenagers within a certain socioeconomic background, perhaps people who have families who are engaging them or who would potentially engage them. We're not talking about people who are necessarily living on the street or in danger of being homeless. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a little loath of painting with a broad brush when we say teens. I mean, you're really talking about teens like you who came from good families.
Definitely. Anyone, it's fair game. I think so much of it has to do with the kids you hang out with. Maybe that relates to socioeconomic status. It didn't in my case because I just like to hang out with fun people. So any teen. You don't need to have a background in drugs. You know, you could be academically outstanding and try it. And maybe in a way they're prone to it because they're inquisitive to begin with.
So as you say that you were hanging out with fun people, and obviously I wasn't meaning that you were using a litmus test of if they're in the same socioeconomic background as you, but I was talking more about the parents.
Okay.
That as, you know, parents who are trying to engage their kids a little earlier and younger in changing that message as they, you know, come to those tween years and teen years and to, you know, to redirect and shift, but be there and engage them in the kinds of discussions that you say that, you know, you wanted to know about and that you found out a little later about what was going on with their brain and how they were developing. All those things that you went off on your own to try to find out, even though you came from a family that was trying to engage you.
Yep, and I had to go out on my own because I had no safe outlet at all. So
that you couldn't bring this up with them at all?
There's no way I would have brought it up. There's no way I would have brought it up with my parents or my doctor because I was under the impression that if I was to, I would be excavated out of life as I knew it and be somewhere I didn't belong, like rehab.
So the fear of rehab stopped you from talking to anybody about that?
Definitely. So much fear and confusion.
So if there is fear and confusion in a lot of other teens, in other families, what would you tell their parents that they need to do?
I think they would need to make it clear to their teen that they love them no matter what. And let them know that things will be okay. Because
But for a lot of families, you know, they're going to go to that rehab place in their mind, that's what my child needs. My child needs somebody to help, and rehab is the help.
Yeah, cool.
Because you're talking two different messages, one about trying to, you know, prevent this, and also being accessible and open if, you know, a parent's child comes to him or her and says,
okay,
Mom. So, but if you're really talking about trying to prevent having to have that conversation of Mom or Dad, I'm using, then you're talking about getting to kids younger. And your whole point when you talked to us initially was that there has to be more of a focus on other parts of life and not just the scare tactics that come with the
There needs to be communication. Like, teens need to feel accepted. So they should be able to talk about it without feeling so heavily judged, because the teen is already experiencing so much confusion. Maybe they don't even identify with themselves. Just basically, the parents, if they were to have this conversation, would have to make sure the priority is to get this drug absolutely out of the picture. 100%. Because there's no way that there can be progress if it's in their life, even a little bit. And maybe that takes rehab, maybe it doesn't. I had enough personal motivation not to have to go to rehab.
That makes you pretty extraordinary in a lot of ways.
Maybe, but I realized that there's no way that I could have any kind of relationship with the people that I love, which is always very important to me, and also have this in the picture at the same time. There's absolutely no way.
And maybe that needs to be part of that message in earlier conversations about why drugs, particularly meth, is so
dangerous. I hope so. It's a powerful motivator.
Thanks so much for coming in, for contacting us, and we wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you for the chance.
Leticia is a young adult in the mental health field and in school to hopefully become a psychologist specializing in adolescent development. She's also a former teen meth addict who says that the messages to teens need to change and be more fact-based, minus all the hype, and with safe places to talk.